Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today is Tell Del Tuesday. That's where we bring in one of our members to share their experiences of what they've accomplished during their membership at Lifestyles. And we have a good one for you today, and I think it's a very interesting one because it has two or three of the components that I think are pretty common across the board. So without getting any further into it, let's bring on Jeff Culverhouse out of DFW, actually lives in Wylie, Texas. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dale. Nice to talk to you again. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I love your story, and I love to exploit your story, if you could call it exploiting your story, as using it to find other people that had the same problem. Let's start out with where you were before you were a Lifestyles member, and I'm going to give you just a request for different parts of your story, so make sure we get them in there. The first part is, hey, you weren't interested, yet you had friends and new people that were in Lifestyles. Pick the story up from back when you weren't interested and why you weren't interested at the time.
Sure. Yeah, I was working as an engineer here in Dallas and at a big company and, you know, making good money. And so it was, we're raising a family and have kids, and I didn't really have a whole lot of extra, you know, just saved up capital other than what was in my 401k, you know, and we're working to pay off the house and everything. So, you know, there was a lot of equity there, but I just didn't have funds. And I had several friends that had joined Lifestyles. In fact, I carpooled with these guys, and, you know, they're constantly talking about it. I'm like, man, I'm just not at the point where you guys are. I can't do it. I don't have any capital. And so that's basically where I was, just saying I couldn't do it, basically letting can't get in the way. And when knowing good well now that I did have equity in the house, I had there were different means. I just wasn't exploiting that at the time.
I understand. And I always said, I picked this up from somebody, I think it was Tony Robbins, until the pain of staying the same is more than the pain of change, you'll never make a change. So there you were. It was more comfortable where you're at. It was less comfortable to try something new you didn't think you were ready for. But yet your company came through for you and changed your mind. What did your company do? I love this part of the story. That made you realize, hey, maybe I should look into this.
Yeah, I have a close friend that's always telling me that whole until the pain of the present overcomes the fear of the future to keep doing that. But now I was going along, and back in 2018, man, I had busted my butt for the company and was working probably 60, 70 hours, working nights and weekends. And, man, I'm like, man, I'm doing so good, and, you know, this is good. I'm going to get a great review, and it's just going to be great. So I go into my yearly review, which is done in February, and, you know, they said, oh, yeah, you did a great job, good job, and everything, and here's your 2.3% raise. And I just looked at my manager, and I just kind of laughed, and I was like, are you serious? You know, Social Security got 3% raise this year. You're giving me a less of a raise than what Social Security gets. And I was really taken aback and upset by this, and he was just like, well, sorry, you're close to the top of your pay band, you know, that's really all we can do at this point. After that, I walked out of that office, and the first thing I did was call one of those friends that I used to carpool. Of course, at this point, he's already retired from TI and is, you know, doing, being a lead, and I said, okay, man, I'm ready, let's go.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, I preemptively tell people that come to work for me as employees, I say, look, I just want you to understand there's no such thing as a raise in my company. It's not that you don't become worth more. It's not that you're not worth more. It's that your job title's not worth more. So this is what I pay for this job. So what should you do because of my attitude? You should go out and buy real estate and become wealthy and within 5 years not work for me anymore. I literally give people that spiel because I don't want them to believe that the company is going to be the end-all, be-all to your financial success, right? So you got the story. They slapped you in the face with the 2% raise, and you decided to take action. What went on from there? How did you come in and did you take a free workshop first, or did you come right to the 2-day? How'd it work out for you?
I guess let me step back just a hair there. We had already joined as PIG members just passively. So when we joined, it was actually because two of our friends became leads, and we were like, okay, well, we're at a point now where we can get into this. So, you know, back in basically about 2016 is when we joined Lifestyles as PIG members just to passively invest in. But, you know, my friends kept saying, you need to go lead. And so then in 2019, when I got that raise, is when I decided to go lead. So to go back there, when we first joined, we had joined too because our friends were becoming leads, and we invested with them. And in our first year, we had already made back more than what we had paid for the for the education. So we got like a 68% return in 13 months.
Wow! So that tends to give you some excitement about what you're doing then, huh?
Yes, definitely. And so then, come 2019, I had already been toying with the idea and looking into it. In fact, we were already certified as leads, my wife and I, but we just hadn't pulled the trigger and really started looking, or gotten, with the mentors and stuff like that. So right shortly after that, my little raise, I went ahead and started really knuckling down and digging into this and building our team with our attorneys and our mortgage brokers and the mentors, and basically got blessed off as being an aspiring lead. And then it just went really crazy fast from there.
Let me cut you off right there. Okay, we'll get back to crazy fast from there. Let's go back, and I'm going to ask you a question that's hypothetical, I think, to be the term for it, and that is, do you think that if you hadn't got in because your friends, bugged you to get in to become a passive investor in their deals, and you hadn't got in, hadn't got educated, and hadn't got a taste of the money that could be made, let's say you were still on the outside and the guy came with the 2% raise, you think you just would have taken it?
Taken the raise?
Taken the raise and gone on?
Yeah, honestly, probably, because if I hadn't, except for knowing Lifestyles members, I never knew anything about real estate. I always thought, I never would have thought that I could have invested in an apartment complex with, that's for the super rich and the big organizations, what I assumed on that. So if I had been listening to your radio show, yeah.
The point I'm trying to make, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, that's very unsanitary during COVID times, but the point I'm trying to make is the very fact that you had gotten pre-educated allowed you the freedom to make a decision to move forward. If you hadn't gotten pre-educated, that 2% raise would have been just like everything else you got in life, just normal. And you would have had to just take it. You would have been.
What I would have done is probably just started working even harder. I'll show them. definitely having the education is without a doubt. I wouldn't have been able to do that.
I'm just making that point because I want people to say, "Hey, maybe you think you're not ready, just like you didn't think you were ready." But just the education alone is worth getting started, because then it gives you. How they say proper preparation prevents poor performance? It puts you in a position you can act. So as a passive now, you did four deals, all with your friends?
Yes, all with friends of mine. Mostly it's a lack of capital why I didn't get into more deals. There's so many people at Lifestyles. When you really start getting connected and you go to the social events and all that, there are tons of deals out there. It's just, we weren't in a position. And then... then we really wanted to start saving our own capital so that we could be leads.
Excellent. So you decided to be a lead. You went and got educated. You got certified. When we come back, we'll talk about your first deal. We'll be right back with Jeff Culverhouse and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Lifestyles Unlimited invites you to the world's largest wealth and passive income expo, September 3rd and 4th, Irving, Texas. You'll connect with successful investors and industry experts. Learn being real estate retired at any age. Attend breakout sessions with industry experts. Learn from real people successfully investing in real estate right now. Leave with your passive income plan in hand. The entire Lifestyles Unlimited team of realtors, mentors, educators, and operational consultants want to meet you Friday and Saturday, September 3rd and 4th in the Metroplex Irving Convention Center, Las Colinas. Join thousands of top investors and multimillionaire real estate investor Dell Wamsley. Dell is mentor to top award-winning investors across the country. Go to WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Enter promo code FREEDOM and receive $97 off any pass or package. That's WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Promo code FREEDOM. WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Dell Wamsley.
Go with me here on Tell Dell Tuesday is Jeff Culver's house out of Dallas, Texas. And Jeff was going to start talking about this first deal that he became a lead investor on. This is a syndication deal where he raised capital from people that he either already knew or met at Lifestyles, one of the two, we'll hear the story, and put together purchasing his first deal. He had already done four apartment deals with other people where they were the leads and he was the passive. So this is his first step out into the world as a lead. Let's pick this up, Jeff. Tell us about the whole process and the mindset of stepping up to being a lead for the first time.
Sure. It's really, and you say this in your education, it's about your team that you surround yourself with. And we, you know, really took that to heart. And plus, you know, it helped that we had friends that were, quite a few friends that were leads. And so, you know, we got with vendors that you know, we're LU vendors, and with what our friends had used, really started surrounding ourselves with those people and trying to figure out, you know, what exactly we need to do. And we, you know, we were attending an event that one of the mortgage brokers had put on, and we started talking to sellers brokers and found out about an off-market deal. And come to find out, it was a Lifestyles member that was selling the property up in Denison. And, you know, we tagged it and got first tag and started working with the mentors and getting that MFQA refined, our quick analysis refined, and basically got that and submitted the LOI. And it all happened within just a few months. I know it's sometimes hard to find a deal, but we really were blessed and got that deal just a couple of months after we became aspiring leads. You know, the numbers worked, and we liked what we saw, and we went up to the area and viewed the property, and that Denison market, man, it was just really buzzing. It was like, man, there's a bunch of construction, everything was going on, and we liked the market, and so we decided to, you know, pursue it.
As you're putting this deal together, did you raise your capital before you found the deal, or did you raise your capital after you found the deal?
It was afterwards. We had our list going from, because we'd gone to Expo, and so we had a bunch of people on our passive investor list, and we started talking about the property, you know, not specific details of it, but we started saying that we're looking, and once we got the LOI submitted, then we really started looking for the interest in this deal, you know, what we had out there. And, oh, man, we funded that thing in probably a day. It was real quick. So.
Wow. How many families you brought in to do this deal?
That one was small, so 13. So it was a 21-unit property in a kind of tertiary market. So it was, you know, the raise was pretty small. But man, it's so great. We love our passives in that deal, and most of them have continued with us into our other properties. And you know, a lot of them are like, "Oh man, I wish your other property would have sold so we could get in the next one." You know, so it's really good. It's the friendships are just phenomenal, and it's really just all around good.
So you bought this deal 2 years ago in 2019, July of 2019. It's now July of 2021, so you only have 2 years in the project. Tell us what you did to change it and make it worth more money.
Okay, so really we looked at it, and I'm looking at the property. I'm looking at the you know, the market around it, and I'm like, man, these rents are just way below market. The interiors had pretty much all been redone except for a few that had people living in these units for like 20, 30 years. And so the outside was real tired. It just needed to be updated. And so we, you know, our whole plan had been, there's a big courtyard. We were going to do big things in the courtyard and, you know, paint it up. And the bones were good. And so really it was just really dressing it up and making it look pretty. And so when we took over, the first thing we did was clean the outside up, paint the exteriors, put solar screens on, you know, give it cedar accents, make it look updated. And we started out, we hadn't even finished painting, and we were already pushing rents. Like, the rent numbers that we were getting were like year two pro forma rents is what we were pushing to, and that was having no problems at all filling. And so it was... And then we started doing the painting, and people just loved it. We got so many comments from local businesses saying that it looks great, because it's literally three blocks from downtown, and so it's a great location. And we just pushed the rent.
In dollar amounts, how much were you going up?
So on our two 1.5s, we were going up like $200. Now keep in mind, this is not to the existing residents. So when we first took over, there was some purple Martians, if you will, there, and they skipped as soon as we put out our, you know, this is our rules and this is what you're going to abide by. And so we had probably three or four families skip on us, and which is very scary, because, you know, it's a 21 unit property, and all of a sudden now you're you know, your occupancy is tanked. And, you know, as first-time leads, that's super scary. And I'm sitting there. One of the things that I can remember talking to my wife about is like, man, I don't want to send an update. We just look awful. This is horrible. People are not going to ever want to invest with us. And so I start sitting down and I start writing. I'm like, you know what? That's not too bad. This is actually pretty good. And so, you know, you come to find out, it's you know, you start putting things down. This is what we did, and it looks good. And man, we leased those units up in no time. And then we really started driving, and it was just really, really good. We did have some of those older apartments. You know, we pushed rents $100 on some people, and then one person we eventually pushed $150 on her rent, and they just absorbed it because they'd been paying way below market for so long.
Yeah, all they have to do is, and you never realize this when you first start this business, is that if you find that you're $100, $200 below market, you think, well, if I raise the rents, they'll all leave. Well, the reality is they're going to go out the door tomorrow and find out that the place across the street costs that same amount. And then they go, well, do I really want to go through the hassle of moving? Now, logically, they should. And the reason is because they get a brand new unit. It's been totally renovated. They should be willing to move. But in the situation where they're not willing to move, they're going to absorb the rent increase if they can afford to pay it. Sometimes they can't. So I understand that. Did you do any what I call nuisance rent increases? And a nuisance rent increase to me is where, say, look, we go to everybody, look, we're raising the rent $200 a month. You're a good tenant. You pay on time. We'll just give you $100 and let it go at that. Do you do any of that kind of stuff?
I've been tempted.
All right, we'll pick this up when we come back on the other side with Jeff and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Walmsley's real estate investing worst case scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. And in 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. people like myself who got started at 87 go, you know, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Here with me on Tell Del Tuesday is Jeff Culverhouse out of Dallas. And as we went to break, Jeff, I wanted to finish up with the segment about your first deal. What I'd like to hear from you, if you could give me some real numbers here. What did you buy the property for and what is the property worth now that you're selling it?
So we're actually under contract to sell. We bought it for $1.35 and we're looking to sell for $2.17. So $2.17 million, and you know we're gonna all said and done, it'll be about a 93% return, a gain to our passives.
All right, so I want to get this across to people just so they can get the numbers here. Just so you know, if they're at home, they're working around thinking, okay, what is my savings account paying me right now? It's paying me less than 1%, and so at $2.170 million. 1, 2, 3 minus 1,350,000. 1, 2, 3. You made a gain of $820,000. How much did you guys put down on this when you bought it? What was your all in?
The all in was about $500,000.
Well, then you made more than 90%. If you made $820,000 on $500,000, that's more than 90%.
Yeah, I'm being conservative on my closing costs and all that, all my anticipated fees in there, but we've also been cash flowing. We started cash flowing a quarter earlier than anticipated. We would have done earlier, but with COVID, we were kind of holding off on distributions, but we did. We cash flowed 6% annualized in third quarter of 2020, and then fourth quarter we did a little bit less by 5.5%, but then first quarter we did 12%,
wow.
And this quarter looking to be 12% again.
Now you're rocking it. So why are you selling it?
Well, it's the, you know, it was a 5-year loan for one. But another thing is, you know, it starts becoming diminishing returns, right? I mean, we've increased the value so much on it that we want to sell it now and give our passives a good 50% annual, you know, 40 something to 50% annualized return. And so it's really, that's the biggest thing. We would need to finance into a new lending.
Gotcha. All right, so that one's going to be sold here soon. Let's talk about the next one. What did you see in the next one, and why did you buy it?
So the next one is kind of a it's really a gem. It's right in downtown Plano. You would have never known it was there. This property was built in the 60s. And the people we bought it from, it was the daughter of the guy that built it. And so they had owned this property for the whole time. Occupancy was tanked. They were at 59% occupancy when we took over. And it was really, they decided to start, they were only leasing out to people 55 and older, and they were just not updating the units. The units, they kept it. The bones were really, really sound, and they kept it updated as far as fixed. But like the units, you walk into the units, and their turned units looked like it was out of the 70s or 80s. You know, just the look and feel of it.
Let me ask you this: did it go so far back as that they had yellow and green appliances? I mean, brown. I remember way back in those era, there were brown, yellow, and green appliances. Was that far back?
So No, they did. They were putting new appliances in. In our other property, I did go into a couple of units where we had the, you know, the olive green appliances. But this one, they had, when they turned the units, you know what? I take that back. There are a couple of units that still have these 1960 stoves that were actually, that are actually working. They're brown, though. Mm-hmm. I forgot about, there are a couple of units that still have some of those in them.
How about the sinks? And I remember back then in the 60s, they were putting in green sinks and green bathtubs and stuff like that. Did you get any of those?
Not in this one. The other one, we had the green sinks and tubs. I mean, sinks and stoves. But this one, they had that brown. It was a real dark brown.
Mm-hmm. I got
but
you.
It's interesting going into some of these units and seeing that some of the stuff is still working. There were a bunch of units. There's two buildings. One of the buildings had all new package units on the roof for the AC, but on the other building, there were a bunch of the units that had the original compressor and the original furnace handler inside. And we've gone through. That was one of the things we had in our capital package, was just to root out all of those and replace them, because even we had just taken over and it started getting hot and we had two of them fail on us, and so it's like, okay, we've got all those replaced now.
So you had split systems and some of them package units and the other. Did you replace the old split systems with package units, or did you come back with split system?
We came back with split system. Those are, so it's kind of, one building was built in 1965 and one building was built in 1968. The 65 building had pitched roofs, and so the split units are outside on the ground.
Gotcha.
And so
okay.
We just kept those and didn't go back.
That makes sense.
I do like those package units on that second building, though.
Yeah, the only problem about them is getting them up there.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's great. So we've got a lot of stuff to work with here. How far are you into? In fact, what year was this you bought this? 2019?
No, we bought this. We just bought this in April of this year. So
gotcha.
We just took over. We have so that property where it's located, it's really in a Class A market. So what we've done is those down. There was the vacancy was high. So we took those vacant units and about half of them were blowing them out, putting granite and tile surrounds, and we're really trying to poach from those Class A units that are right across the street from us. And so far, man, I think we need to push our rents even more, because we've already pre-leased out several of those, and so we're jumping our rents $250 over what the highest amount they were getting on those same units. And so they had some of those units rented out at $800. So I mean, it's there's a huge potential to capture a lot more income on this property.
So for people listening out there, what Jeff is actually saying is he's repositioning the property. The property was in a Class A neighborhood, but it was actually a Class C minus or a D property, and he's repositioning it by remodeling it. Now, it can never be a Class A because you got to build a Class A. The buildings are not the same, but it can be a B plus or an A minus, and he's going to be able to get rents that is going to fit in competitively right underneath of the Class A's. They can't go as low as he can, but him going to that level is way higher than where he's at now. So it's a really interesting play to be able to reposition a property. In fact, it's one of the things that we look for most of the time, Jeff, and you found one.
Yeah, we were super excited about this, and the deal, it was very challenging. Like I said, it was a very unsophisticated seller. Everything was handwritten. There was nothing electronic on this. The owner, she didn't even have a computer, so like when going to get things done, she had to go to her lawyer anytime she wanted to review documents and stuff. And so that presented a separate challenge. And in fact, we came into this deal after several other people had kind of let go of it. Basically, it's not for the faint of heart. This is a bridge loan, and it's your occupancy is low. It's a heavy lift, that's for sure.
Real quick, before we go to break here, which is in just a minute, what have you done with the occupancy in 3 months?
So we just now, we're 10% higher, so we're at 69%, and some of that is because of my plan, because we're turning these units, getting these air conditioners ready, because most of the vacancies are over there. But 10% basically is what we've grown it, and that should be going shooting up a lot in August.
What you're saying is you're slowed down by the fact you're doing a total remodel instead of just a make ready.
Exactly, yes.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that sounds good, because that, to me, sounds like a lot of money. I just, over the airwaves here, I'm hearing money crashing into each other here, you know? The dollar bills are just falling out of the air. So these are the greatest types of deals. There's no doubt about it. We can do one of these. I did one of these, one of the last deals I did, I took a 320-unit property, and I bought it 75-80% vacant. I bought it for $8,000 a door and turned around 2 years later and sold it for something like $40,000 a door. So it was quite a game. We're going to take a short break, be right back with Jeff, and talk about his last deal, the one he's working on now. We'll be right back.
Wamsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day, and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is, you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy's going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Jeff Culvenhouse, and he's out of the DFW area. He is on his third multifamily deal as a lead. He's done four of them as a passive, but this is his third one as a lead, and he just went under contract on it. Jeff, you have it under contract now, so we can talk about it, I believe.
Yeah, we can say a little bit of stuff on this one. We're under contract, and we have just finalized our fundraising. Our subscriptions, I should say, but we're working with lending right now to get along. This is going to be a bridge loan as well, another value type play here. This one, we got operational issues that we're going to address and fix. There's a lot of deferred maintenance on the property, and that's where we're going.
How many units is this one?
109.
All right, so I'm going to point out this issue that you went from 21 to 42, 100% increase in size from your first to your second, then from 42 to 109, another 100% plus increase on your second deal. Are you finding there's anything different from size to size?
You know, there's always challenges and differences, and it's constant learning. This is where I could not imagine trying to do this without something like Lifestyles. We have submersed ourselves with people that are in this business and doing this, and so that's where I can get some of my confidence in this and be able to do this, is that I know that somebody has my back, and I can go talk to them and find out if there's somebody in the group that has dealt with the same type of situation, and that makes me feel much more comfortable with this. But really, it's trust in the numbers. I'm a big spreadsheet kind of guy, and I punch in the numbers and it works. The property is going to be good, and that's really how we do this, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, well, it does. So how many partners did you have in deal number two? I forgot to ask you that, because I just wanted to get that kind of information out there for people.
Deal two was 25.
Okay.
And this one is going to be 36.
So how hard was it to raise the money on the second deal? It's a larger raise.
So you know, it was in that lull period before there were a whole bunch of opportunities out there. We were oversubscribed by, like, we had 250% subscriptions in a day and a half. So, you know, we were raising 1.5, and we raised, you know, close to 4 million in like a day and a half. And so that's difficult because it was a, you know, it's a smaller project, and so you end up having to turn away a lot of great people, and that's the hard part about it.
That's a terrible problem to have, huh?
Yeah.
So when you first came to Lifestyles and you had friends here, you had sort of a advantage because you knew people, and so you could hang out with your friends if you wanted to. But new people coming in, what do you think they think when they see that we talk openly about money? And not only do the mentors help other people, but the members help the other people. How do you see that as coming in?
It's very different, especially being in the, you know, engineering field. It's like where it's very competitive, and definitely it is an abundance mentality. You know, everybody is helping each other, and you're right. I had a bunch of friends in this, and that was a huge help to me, and I cannot express enough gratitude for our friends that have helped us with all of this. But anybody coming in, we have met so many people and have so many great friends at Lifestyle, so it's very different and very open.
Now, let's talk about the last thing that I really thought was interesting about your story, and we've only got a minute and a half to get it in. Your story seemed to conclude with you having almost just tremendous number of family and friends join after you. Can you share with us how much of that passing of the torch you've done already?
Yeah, so there's a ton of my family that is very excited about this. You know, they've been in since, like, last Christmas, I think, is when you had the family and friends promo. And it's exciting because, you know, it's hard talking about this sometimes, and they're probably all listening right now. But, you know, I was hesitant to tell people about it because it's, you know, it's just something hard to talk about. But then once we did, it just opened the floodgates, and they're all like, why did we wait until now to join? And so I've got... actually have a nephew that he's wants to go lead. That's what he wants to do, and he's in his 20s, and so he's working hard to save up capital so that he can do this. I have another niece that she just graduated, and I think, you know, her kind of goal is to become a lead as well. So yeah, definitely trying to pass the torch. My kids too, I take them out to the properties, and we definitely want to submerge them in this and get them, you know, knowing what they can do. And it's, you don't have to have the normal W-2 job where you're working hard for somebody else to make money.
Yeah, that's a different thing to be teaching them that young. That's amazing if you can get them taught in their 20s. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even start until I was 27. I was retired by 34. You get them taught in their early 20s, man. That's just a light years ahead of everybody else.
Exactly. One quick thing is I quit my job on that. So when we did the second deal, it was too heavy of a lift. I was like, there's no way I can keep continuing on doing this. So I am completely retired from my W-2 job now.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Well, we're at the end of the segment here, so I just wanted to thank you for coming on and sharing. Are you going to be at the Expo this September 3rd and 4th?
Most definitely. Hope to see everybody there. Can't wait to talk to you, Dell, when we get there.
Absolutely. I'm going to be up there, and I'm going to be on the bus tour. And, guys, I heard the bus tour is just about to close out. If you want a seat, you're going to have to sign up absolutely right now today because I think they're closing it down. So I'm just giving that as a heads up, and look forward to seeing you all on the bus tour. There's more room for the Expo, so hope to see you there. And remember always, Jeff, myself, and all of us, we're not doing this for some money. We're doing it for a lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Dell Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Dell Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.